Welcome to College Park. So excited that you are here for worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we begin. The way we get started, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, once you're done, send it back to where it began this morning. And we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today. Our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for helping us with that. Many announcements are listed there in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. A reminder of a couple of things. Children's time is today. So we invite the kids will come down here after the first hymn to meet with me for just a moment. Regular schedule tonight and this week, including our Parents in Touch, our pit stop. Each Wednesday night we'll be studying Sticky Faith, helping our young people maintain their faith as they leave our home. So we invite you to come and be a part of that. Big Raj, come on, you have an announcement.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Guess what? We dedicated that house yesterday for Habitat. Let me hear a clap about that. Yesterday at 10 o'clock, we had about 25 people there for the dedication, and it went very, very well.
The card says, with warmest thanks, grateful hearts, and deep appreciation for your thoughtfulness, Tiffany Harrison and family.
Thank you. I definitely was delighted with the way this house turned out. Those of you who went through it got to see what a wonderful job our people have done on that house. Speaking of that,
thank you, Big Raj. It was a special moment yesterday as Tiffany and her family cut the ribbon to that door and they walked in. It was a very touching moment. So God used the people of College Park, the people of Habitat, to reach another family. So we're thankful just to have a small part in that. Reminder to all of our senior adults, Krista wanted me to announce there is a PMBA Senior Adult Revival on October the 9th, and we want you to know that that is coming up and want to be prepared for that. Let's see, any other? Hey!
November 14th and 15th, we are looking at taking a trip to the Women of Faith Conference in Charlotte. Spaces are filling up kind of quickly, not on our end, but on their end. So if you are interested in going with us, if you would let me or Krista know, and we're going to kind of start getting things together, but it's time to figure out. So November 14th and 15th, that's a Friday. Friday and Saturday, so we'll be back Saturday night. You can come to church on Sunday, and it'll be a good weekend.
Okay. We want to say a special welcome today to our guests. We're thankful for you being a part of worship today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give something to you. It's very easy. Just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, also a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. It's kind of tough to trust God in all our ways. We kind of like to let Him we'll trust him in some things, and we kind of hold on to things that we want to hold on to. But he wants everything that we worry about, everything that we do, to trust him. Even when it doesn't make sense to us, are we ready to trust him? Because he is a gracious God, especially when we don't deserve it. He is ready and willing to speak to us today. Are you ready to hear from him? Let's prepare for worship.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared among all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols.
But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary.
In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountains bow down to him.
Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes.
Let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before our Maker.
For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Sing praise and celebrate, for this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Sing praise and celebrate, for this is the day.
Pray with me, please. God, we come this morning declaring your glory. Lord, proclaiming your greatness. for you are gracious and merciful. Lord, you are loving. Lord, you are beyond what we can even begin to understand. And yet, Lord, in your majesty, you are here this morning with us. And for that, we praise you. Lord, as we worship together this morning, Lord, as we hear scripture, as we hear proclamation and songs, Lord, speak to our hearts. Let us know your presence. And Lord, let us worship you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, for you are worthy of that praise. We welcome you here. Lord, help us to welcome you into our lives. Change us in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody, come on down. Crisscross applesauce, eyes right here. It's good to see everybody this morning. Did you know that I have a brother and a sister? They are 4 years younger than I am. They're twins, and they were 4 years younger than I am. Now, I was the oldest of three, and I have a question. When you were little, did you ever get tucked in at night? Maybe, do you still get tucked in at night? Yeah, yeah. And did your mom or dad or whoever's tucking you in say, you know, I love you, but I love you more than your brother or your sister or this person? Now, have you ever heard anybody say that? I love you. Well, I think my mom and my dad probably said that because they love my brother and sister more than they love me. Do you think that was true? No, that wasn't true. Even though I was born 4 years before they were, I'm smarter and I'm better looking and I'm wittier than they are. Do you think they love me more than my brother and sister? Do you think so? No. My mom and my dad love me just as much as my brother and sister. Even though I was different from them and I was older than them, they love me the same. Well, there's a story Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning that sometimes it feels like God should love us more because we've done all the right things or we've been loving Jesus more than somebody else. Well, it doesn't matter how long or how much we love God. He loves us all the same. So we need to be loving other people the same. Can y'all help me do that this week? Remember, it doesn't matter how old you are or what you do. God loves you the same, just as he loves me, just as he loves Pastor Raymond, just as he loves everybody else. Sometimes that's hard to understand, but we're going to try that today. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that you love us the same. It's amazing how much you love us. Help us to love other people the same way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job this morning. Go back to your seats. Invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. It's page 655 in the Pew Bible there in front of you. And then we'll be flipping over to Psalm 145. This is Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" And then turning to Psalm 145, verses 1 through 9. "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. Lord, we're so thankful today for the promise of the transition of the seasons, for the beautiful scenery that you've given us, for the earth that we are privileged to live on. Lord, we thank you for all of these blessings. I ask that you bless the gift and the giver and use it all to thy glory. In thy name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
had it not been for Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's musical entitled Evita, we might never have heard of her. Her name was Eva Perón. She died of cancer in 1952 at the young, tender age of 33. She held no elected office. She was not formally educated. And while she was an actress, she never really was considered to be a very good one. She lived in Argentina, half a world away before I was even born. And yet for a few brief years, she held all of Argentina and much of the world in the palm of her hand. Let me explain. When Juan Perón became president of Argentina in 1946, his wife, Eva, became first lady. Eva grew up as an illegitimate child in the back of beyond, as they would say, and she had always dreamed of being in the big city, being kind of in the upper crust in the big city. And now it appeared as if she had finally arrived. You see, tradition dictated that the First Lady of Argentina would be elected chairperson of the Society of Beneficence. It was kind of a ladies' aid society, kind of the up and up. You know, they handled all of the charitable work throughout the country. So she was looking forward to being part of that, being chairperson of that, but she was not elected to that position. Evidently, the upper crust of the women in the society could not tolerate the fact that even though she was first lady, she came from a dirty background, as they saw it, and was someone of minor significance in life. The fact that she had been an actress was kind of the last straw. Well, Eva Perón tossed off this snub and formed her own society, her own foundation, which bears her name, and ultimately became one of the most profound charities of all time and affected the lives of everyone in the nation, elevating her to virtual sainthood prior to her early death. Yet, throughout her life, the society women still despised her. Not a bad thing, as I would see it, but that's just me. All of this is a simple reminder that too often we do not like to see those, quote, beneath us get ahead of us. It's something about the human pecking order. Sociologists and psychologists have presented their theories. But, you know, perhaps it leaves us feeling like we deserve certain things, a certain status. And we begrudge those who would challenge our particular view or our particular position within all of that. And in the midst of all of this, yet, we read in Matthew a parable about some vineyard workers. The story is actually unique to the Gospel of Matthew. As some of you may know, the synoptics shared some common material, but this one is only in Matthew. And it's introduced in Matthew's typical style. In one translation, it says, "The reign of God is like." In the NIV, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour, and the ninth hour did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered." It's a good answer. "He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' Now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. You can almost hear him, can't you? But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So, the last will be first, the first will be last. I know you've heard that verse quoted. Did you know it was in this context? Context, context, context. Not that I particularly care what they think, but there is a group called the Jesus Seminar. It's a group of scholars that gather together and they sift through the Gospels and they determine which passages Jesus might have spoken and which ones may have been altered or which ones were actually made up by the Gospel writers. Interesting crowd. Well, the Jesus Seminar gives this passage a red rating. You know, the letters in red, you know, Jesus actually spoke. They believe that Jesus actually spoke this. I know that comes as a great deal of comfort to you. We'll all rest better tonight. But their rationale is what interested me. They think it's authentic to Jesus because of its blatant confrontation with the expectations of who is in and who is out. Isn't that interesting? You see, Jesus tells a very simple story. It's a simple story about a landowner going to hire transient workers. In Hendersonville, where I grew up, we had a lot of migrant workers that came through during apple season, about this time of year. Transient workers. You may have seen these type of workers. There are people that many would see as kind of at the bottom of the social ladder, standing out at the parking lots of local home improvement stores. You can see them today. They're hoping for just a few hours, perhaps, if they're lucky, a whole day of work. It was very common in Jesus' time, as I already referred to. It was common when I was growing up. I remember going with my dad down to the FCX to get some pesticide or fertilizer or something and seeing those men out there. My dad was county agent. He knew a lot of them by first name. He spoke to them. He asked them if they'd been able to get work. As you went on down King Street to Walker's Hardware, there were few there. And you saw them there about every Saturday, waiting. Some of them had small paying jobs during the week, and they were just trying to pick up a little extra on the weekends to help the ends meet with their family's finances. It was common in Jesus' time. It's common even today. Some things haven't changed over the years. And throughout the day, this landowner keeps hiring more and more groups of workers, trying to make sure that the work gets done. Some as late as an hour before finishing time. Now, there's nothing particularly surprising here. Like I said, he was trying to get the job done until it comes time to pay them. And the ones hired last get paid first. And to everyone's surprise, they're given a full day's wage. Now, you can imagine what the guys that went out first, you can imagine what's going through their mind. Okay, they got, let's say $100. They got $100. They worked an hour. I worked 12 hours. We're eating meat this week, baby. Yeah, I like that. I mean, you can't blame them for thinking that. It seems reasonable. So they were pretty disappointed when they got up there and they got paid the same as the ones who had worked for an hour. It's not fair. Except that's how things work in God's kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven. Jesus starts the story. The reign of God is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. So there's something very intriguing about this parable that so bluntly challenges the way that our society seems to operate. Capitalism says if you work hard and apply yourself, you will what? You'll get ahead. You'll do well. Son, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Now, the Lord helps those who help themselves, which, by the way, is not in Scripture anywhere, despite what you may hear. The early word catches the worm, except in this story where the guys that showed up late got the worm. And the guys, you see, it's not like this in this parable. So what's going on? Maybe Jesus is trying in a bold and a radical fashion to tell us that the way in which we operate, well, may not be keeping with the way that God operates, and we would do quite well to notice that. Yet we may never know for sure, but it seems Matthew has some interesting ideas as why he's presenting this parable. You see, the Gospel of Matthew was written for a church that had a lot of issues with membership. You've heard me say before that Matthew targets kind of those Jewish converts over to Christianity. As we talked in Advent, we talked about that specifically. Remember your audience. Remember who he's writing to. And the same is true right here as well. Those that for generations had been devout Jews who now eagerly embrace Jesus as the Messiah couldn't quite wrap their heads around the influx of new converts. These Gentiles, these outsiders, them, as we refer to them sometimes. Them, you know, they. I can't help thinking that it's clearly in that context that Matthew must have made sure that he included this parable that Jesus had spoken. Just at a time when people in the church were grumbling rather loudly about newcomers coming in and taking over, he comes in with a parable that says, it doesn't matter when you get here. God loves you. God wants to give you what you need. Maybe, if you're honest with yourself, you discover that you've been here before. I think most of us probably have, at least occasionally. See, someone who's new, someone who's charismatic or brash or different or an outsider comes in and gets treated as well, maybe even better, than those who've been here for a long, long, long time. Or worse even still, are those who've led wild and crazy lives, seemingly without a care in the world for others, led those kind of lives, and then they come into the church and they steal the thunder away from those hardworking saints who've been pious and proper for almost a century. It's just not fair. We laugh about circumstances, stereotypes. But you see, it's one more reminder that God doesn't have to fit into our human concept of fairness. I'm glad God's not fair in our reckoning of it. I'm glad we don't get what we deserve. You see, God is in the grace business. God is in the business of setting right a world that's gone totally haywire in so many directions. We readily can admit, often without much prodding, that we are not worthy of God's love, and we're right in doing that. We understand that we're not worthy of God's love, and yet he gives it to us anyway. We cannot possibly earn it. We do not earn it. But still, our God lavishes his love upon us day after day after day. And God lavishes it on other people too, even the ones that we may not like or who we think are less deserving. Because in the final analysis, none of us deserves God's love. But all of us receive it, and the full measure of it, the full day's worth of it. Amen? Let's pray and give him thanks. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you that in spite of who we are, in in spite of the way that we act, that you love us unconditionally. Despite of the way that we treat others, you love us unconditionally. All the while, Father, we know that we are unworthy. Yet your grace, yet your mercy is extended to us. So we thank you. Father, we ask that you forgive us of those times when we fall so short, when we do not extend that same love and acceptance to others. We recognize that it is falling short of what you desire for us. Forgive us. Set us back on our feet. Direct our path. Show us how you would use us to extend your love and your mercy and to demonstrate those love and grace and mercy to other people. Father, we thank you for the example that Jesus lived out and for the stories that he gave us so that we could be confronted with our own failures. God, we love you. We pray that our lives and our hearts would match up. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you are not a believer, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can say without hesitation that it's not an accident you're here today. He wanted you to hear the nature of his love and relationship and acceptance for you. I'll be standing here at the front as we stand and sing in just a moment, and I'll be glad to share with you how you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you'd rather not come down here, that's fine. Call me this week. I'll be glad to sit with you and wherever you would like, and we'll be glad to talk about it. If you are a believer and you say, Raymond, I listened to this story and it disturbs me because I see myself here perhaps not on the right side of the parable, you have an opportunity this morning to kind of line things back up. Talk with God as we're singing. Come, I'll be glad to speak with you as well. Get things straight with God again. And if you're here and you'd like to be a member at College Park, there are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about it as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
Need to let you know that one of our longtime members, Ms. Helen Howard, passed away yesterday. We do not have arrangement details yet, but if you'll call the church office tomorrow, hopefully we will have them by in the morning. So if you will, please remember her family in prayer. Following the benediction and the response, I encourage you to look around you, greet one another, offer a word of encouragement to each other as we go out into our mission field. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, the blessings of this day, the fellowship we enjoy. Father, the teaching that you put before us. Father, help us to learn. Father, help us to kind of dwell on that story this week and see how you would use that in our lives as we interact with other people and as we seek to be a blessing to them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.